Zephaniah 3, verse 17 says, "The Lord your God is with you." In prayer the other day, I just heard myself say, I didn't even mean to rhyme, how about that? And I said, "It's you, God." Not "I'm seeking you, God," it's "you, God." Zephaniah was saying, "It's you, God." David said, "I know who it is. It's you, God. I know who's here. It's you, God. I know who surrounds me. It's you, God." Say, "It's you, God." What's happening? What's happening in the world? It's you, God. What's going on in my life? Didn't he say, "Lo, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you." Say, "It's you, God. It's you, God. I know who it is. I know it's you, God." Come on, make this a prophetic prayer. Something's happening when we say, "It's you, God." Moses went up and said, "I have to go up and see this sight. It's you, God." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego couldn't be afraid because they knew, and they said, "It's you, God." What you're walking into when you don't know what to do, just say, "It's you, God." According to your faith, it's you, God. Domains, dominions, lowlands, highlands, plains, and mountaintops. It's you, God. What would God say to you if he believed that you believe whatever he said? I wonder what God would say if he knew you would believe whatever he said. What would he say? He said, "My heart is to do exceeding abundant and beyond all you know to ask or think." But when we don't know, we want to run away. We want to walk in the exceeding, abundant, and beyond all we know to ask or think. But when it shows up, we can tend to run away or blame an enemy or say something's wrong. But the word says that faith looks for the invisible. And faith is the adhesion to the word of God. It's what makes it stick. What would God say to you if he knew you would believe what he said? David said when he stood before Goliath and his brothers were making sport of him and the king was afraid and nothing appropriate as far as attire or the accoutrements of warfare were in his hand, and he said, "It's okay. It's you, God. It's you, God. It's you, God." You can take your seats and say, "It's you, God." Stay right here. Don't change anything. Say, "It's you, God. It's you, God." We believe for the exceeding beyond all we know to ask or think. Now, the word says it's according to a power that is working in you and through you. It's you, God. What a crazy world we live in. What unusual times. What's going on? It's you, God. So David faces Goliath, and he just says, "Say what you will, but this is what's going to happen. Say what you will, but let me tell you what's going to take place." In a sense, it was true what Goliath was saying to David. I mean, certainly there were far more in number and strength and preparation than the king's army, and their hearts were certainly more encouraged and more fervent, more confident, except for one guy. There's one guy that just said, "It's you, God. It's you, God." Why does God give us faith? Maybe he just wants us to be a little bit smarter than doubt. Why does he tell us things so we have to believe by faith? Because he doesn't want his people running around blind. The word says you can look, but you cannot see. You can hear, but you don't really hear. You don't understand. But it is written, the just live by faith, and faith alone. Just for fun. Next time someone asks you, what do? For a living, say faith. What do you mean? You ask me what I do for a living. My vocation is faith. I live by faith. Again, the religious leaders have spared no expense whatsoever at employing indoctrinated tailors to seam together again the veil of separation between God and man. But the word of faith divides it as God intended in our minds, and we see no separation. We see no distance. God doesn't dwell in the distance. He said, I'm ever present, and you have to think that way. Faith is an understanding. Faith is a discipline. Faith is a knowledge. Faith is an eye. It's the ability to see things as they really are, to go beyond the fictitious mindset of apparitions that are here for a minute and then disappear the next morning. Faith is the ability to give us a standard that remains a solid rock of foundation. So God gives you a word. Today the word is trust me. What would God say to us if he knew we would believe him in whatever he said? What could he show us? With David, he showed him a tremendous victory. But it didn't look anything like that when he faced Goliath, when there was no one to stand with him. It didn't look like anything. There are so many that stand with me. Say it. So many stand with me. The prophet said, Lord, open his eyes that they may see. God is in your midst. Zephaniah said, the Lord God, he's in your midst. He's with you. He's all around you. He said, don't be afraid. He said, the Almighty One, he's the one that gives you the victory. He's the one that leads you in a place. And why does God lead us in places where it just seems so necessary to just believe God beyond reason? Certainly you've had to live there, John. You've had to walk in those places. Why would God do that? He wants to make you smarter than you've ever been. As intelligent as you are. As wise as you are. Why would he open doors that we question whether or not God opened them or did we kick them open? Matthew, why would God say that? Because the Lord provokes us to kick doors open. The Lord provokes us to go down to the stream and pick up five stones and confront an unbeatable giant, undefeatable in every conceivable way. Can God trust you to simply believe it's you, God? Who's standing beside you? What is going on around you? It may look like trouble, but God troubles the world around you. So he can change it through your faith into the image. He said it like this. He said to Jeremiah, he said, go down to the potter's house. Watch him work on the wheel. And what happened in the hands of God? It looked like it was just messed up. It became flawed. And God says, Jeremiah, it's me. It's you, God. It's you, God. Could you believe that you're just a little bit closer than you really think you are? Can you believe that he's more present than you think he is? Can you believe that when you approach God, you don't have to bring you to yourself? You bring the presentation of someone that is powerless. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. My presentation before the Lord, I've learned, is never about my status or my opinion or my position, even with God, but simply who he is. That's why he said, come before me with thanksgiving. Enter my courts with praise. Be solely mindful of who I am. Adam and Eve were clothed with the glory of God because they were solely mindful of who God was. There wasn't anything different about their appearance, but there was something, certainly something different about their minds. God is teaching us to be wiser, as he said he would. He's elevating us beyond the elementary doctrines of having to continuously repent and feel like it's so hard to be right before God. It's the easiest thing in the entire universe to be right before God. Because it isn't reliant on my or your abilities or our efforts, our sweat and blood. He did that. But simply to believe it's you, God. It's you, God. God before me, who can be against me? It's you, God. I come before you, Lord, in the very identity of the one I am born into. I come before you in the identity. I come to you. I come to you in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I come before you, God. If you think it's too hard, you're believing it all wrong. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on yourself and learn about me. I'm meek and lowly. You'll find rest to your soul. It's so easy. My presentation isn't me before the Lord. I have no checklist when I come before him. If I do, I make sure it's burned. There's nothing to compare. When you come before the presence of the Lord, there's nothing to compare. How close is he? It's you, God. God is in the midst of his people. You may not know this, but the world is more afraid of the church today than ever before, since many, many, many days back. That's why. Why do you think? There is such a frontal approach and attack. There's fear in their hearts. Goliath, you're afraid, and I know you are. And you'll fall, just like he did. Because the word of the Lord is secure. The word of faith isn't a mishap or an accident, or it may come to pass. The word of faith is sure. And in the voice and the word of the Lord is yes and amen. Say it again. Say, it's you, Lord. What's going on around me? Say, it's you, Lord. It's you, God. What did I sense? What do I feel? What's happening? It's you, God. It's you, God. It's you, God. The days to come will take on the attitude of faith you have today. That's why the word says, don't consider tomorrow. You give trouble time to happen. While you feel the faith and the initiative to do, this is the day. That's how God thinks. Remember, we're told, seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? A place? He said, no. He said, if they tell you it's here or it's there, he said, they're lying to you. Don't believe them. The kingdom of God is within you. What is in me? Let this mind be in you. Let this mind, the mind of God, the mind of Christ, it's through understanding. That's why the word says in the latter days there will be prophecy. There will be an outpouring. What is prophecy? It's insight. It's the interpretation of the will of the Father in the way that requires faith for it to adhere, for you to take a hold. We're in the greatest position we've ever been in generations. We are the most elevated. You are the most sought after. Your faith is envied, both of you. Your faith is envied by those that appear to hate you. They envy your faith. So they are afraid of your faith. Because when you don't understand power, you fear power, especially when you cannot control it. No one will ever control your faith. So no one can ever tell you no. Because the word of the Lord is yes. And it's in him, amen, and it's sure. And what does that mean? everything is going to turn out incredible. Tony, I hear you listening, hearing fearful things, concerning things, and the word of the Lord in your mouth is that none of it matters. Only the word that God has revealed, only that is what matters. Only that will make the decision. 7 days ago, some information comes to you. The word of the Lord in your mouth is what God said. God said, the word of the Lord stands. The word of the Lord is sure. The word of the Lord is true. God will bring it to pass. Don't fear what man says. Don't fear what man can do. If we come together to have a service, if we come together just to meet and greet, that's fine and good. But if we come together to glean understanding, that's the spirit of prophecy. If we come together to develop a sense of the rock, something that can't be moved, and we build on that, whatever we build will remain. It has no place to go. It remains. It stands strong. But God has to say something to you that you can't see, because he said, do not look for what you can see. And more times than not, what we don't see is what makes us afraid. So we think. But actually, the opposite is true. It's what we compare with where we are that we don't see, that we have, that someone else does, or something that someone may or may not say, or may not do, or something that may or may not happen to you. And that doesn't come from the spirit of faith or wisdom. It's hearsay. News, unless it's God's word, is hearsay. Through mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Through mercy, God's merciful, but he's truth. He's not a form of truth. He's not a truth. He is the truth. He is the truth. And the truth is everything that envelops the world according to the will of God. Everything. So God says, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. Calamity doesn't come because God's angry or upset. It comes because we believe it's coming. According to your faith, be it unto you. I said to Donna just the other day, I said, I know I seem a little extreme in my beliefs in evil and its ability and inability. I said, but there's one woman one time walking along the street, and Jesus came, and a lot of people were touching him. But one woman just believed there was no other way, but this was the way. She was in the way. In essence, she believed, it's you, God. It's you, God. It's you, God. John, since you can't get out of the way anyway, just say, it's you, God. It's you, God. And the wisdom that God cultivates, the uncertainty of this is the position, this is the position that I am in. What difference would certain things make? But the difference that you make is that when you succumb to the word of the Lord and say it's by faith, and we're all in or we're not in at all, and we do all. And by that comes peace and health and strength. And I speak the strength and healing power and presence of the Lord into your prostate in Jesus' name, God's soundness into your body, a renewing from the lower part of your spine up through your back, God's strength and life and health and peace and joy and wisdom and life and love and wonder. You're going to dream some of the most beautiful dreams and wake up and know this is God. It's you, God. And I speak that life and health and strength to you, not of might or power, because I know anything, but I hear in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's a yeah, yes, and amen. Kind of the day, you're Adam. I made you a promise, and I told you next time. Today, you're Adam. Today, you're Adam. We're Adam. We're from Adam. Adam, man, humus, sons of God. God looked at Adam and he said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make for him a helper, but you've not needed a helper. But God said, you do. Maybe Adam thought, I don't. But you do. So Adam took from the side what would stand beside. So the wife came from the man. And so your bride comes from you. It's you, Lord. I need a helpmate. It has to come out of you first. And then God brought to Adam the wife which he had made from Adam. And then Adam called her, woman, from me. You came from me. And that's where your bride is. She's in you. You say of the Lord, it's you, God. I need a helpmate. And she will come out of you, and she will come to you, and you will call her my bride. The word of the Lord is sure. Believe. And you will walk in a day. You're a treasure, you're a hidden gift with a strong voice. Amen. Who has reined your mind on purpose. You've corralled your thoughts on purpose. You've needed little. You've dictated well to your emotions. But God will violently release the spirit of his favor through you. And your voice will become stronger than anyone has ever seen. You are, in fact, a mystery. You are a secret. And you will be unveiled. Amen. And you will walk in authority. And you will be a generation, 2 and 3, and even 4. And seed will come from your seed. And the Lord's blessing. Only do this one thing. Hear the word of the Lord and heed what God has said. And it will be yours. Jesus. God, we praise you. Father, we love you and we worship you. Why are we here? Do you remember why we're here? To seek God, to love him with all of our hearts, and to fulfill his word. Ergo, PFC, Prophetic Fulfillment Church. Why are you here? To seek God. What does that mean? I need your mind. I need an understanding that excludes my desires and yet satisfies them in a way that I couldn't imagine in the deepest recesses of my imagination. I need you. I need you. I need your word. I need your wisdom. I need your love. I need your favor. I need you. As a deer pants after the water brook, my soul longs for you. That's seeking the kingdom of God. I want the mind of God. Superior and yet united. So far beyond and yet so near and so close. Say again, it's you, Lord God. Right here. Right now. It's you, Lord. I had a dream I've shared a time or two a few nights ago, and the revelation I got out of it recently was the next time, instead of saying, is it you, Lord? I will say, it's you, God. It's you, God. When things come around and you don't understand, when it seems tough, it seems rough, your way out, your way through, your way over, your way beyond, it's you, God. David said, it's you, God. Shadrach, it's you, God. Abraham said, it's you, God. It's you, God. Sarah finally said, it's you, God. It's you. What's going on in your body? It's you, God. Come on. Woman of issue, centurion soldier, it's you, God. Matthew, Lori, the word of the Lord came to you.
to teach you. Then the Lord led you through a dry place and said, now make it your own. And in time, you made it your own. Now the Lord sends his word to watch over you. It's you, Lord God. It's you, Lord. This is the season. This is the hour. This is the day. This is the moment. This is the time. This is the fervency. Christo, if you stand in hope, and you hope only for the will of the Lord is all you'll see. It isn't all you'll look at, but it's all you'll see. And that is in saying, I have caved to the will that I want, and I'm surrendered to the will you are. I'm not provoked by anything but the Spirit of the Lord. Say, it's you, Lord. And everything that's going on around me, it's you, Lord. Isn't your heart changing? Haven't you said in your heart, it feels softer? Why do I cave? Why do I cry in a different way? Why do I feel? Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. I'm working a work on the wheel. Watch what I do. And so the Lord's done with you. Stand there, remain there, rejoice there. Say of the Lord, this is who I am. This is what I've been and been made to be. And I say of the Lord, you are my God and you are my strength, my fortress. I'll not fear. There's so many things to be afraid of. Should we talk about them? There's so many things that we could doubt. But we are not of those that look back. Because that was before, and this is today. And what is ahead is God, it's you. Lord, it's you. It's you that stand before me. It's you that stand with me. Remember, we pretty much think we know what we look like in God, but what does he look like in me? What does he look like in you? What does God look like in you? Don't buy into the stitching together of separation, religion, I'm only this, I'm only that, I'm not, I'm getting there. Time and distance, God doesn't dwell there, he is there. He doesn't dwell in the spirit of disappointment. So he says, don't be disappointed, don't be discouraged, rejoice. He didn't say, look at what I'm doing. He just said, rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice. David didn't see what God was doing. He just said, it's you, God. You're there. Shadrach didn't see. Abraham didn't see. But then when he saw by faith, faith keeps us from being blind. And we should covet. You should covet, everyone in this house, everyone that's viewing, you should covet a word from the Lord. You should ask God, send a bird, send an angel, give me a dream, open the word, let something jump out at me, send me a prophet, give me a word, say something. And if you have no word, speak a word. It's you, God. And then endeavor to do something that only faith would do. And remember, God experiences, we are an experience to God. God experiences, we are an experience to God. The scriptures tell us that he is the Lord Almighty and he rejoices over you. He rejoices over you. One day, Job, in all of his suffering, he said, I wish I'd never been born. Now, if you want to believe Job, let me tell you something. You can't live from Job's faith. You can't live from Paul's faith. You can only live from Christ's faith. So don't compare yourself to Job. But he said in all his misery, he said, God, what is man? You're so mindful of him. You know what Job said all the time? It's you, God. Don't know why. Don't know what. But this foundation he stood on is, it's you, God. It's you, God. This is that moment. Say of yourself, say this, I know what I look like in you, but I want to know what you look like in me. It's you, God. Be revealed through me. We're called the body of Christ for a very specific reason, because God is seen, he's known in your life, he's seen, he's known, he's manifest through what he's doing through you, not what he's bringing at you. The wonders of God that are coming to us in this day, and it isn't that God won't just do and God can't just do to encourage your heart, but at some point the word says, let us go on to maturity. Let us walk away, not walking away as in we've abandoned, but let us go on. Let's forget having to consistently feel like we're going to have to repent. We're constantly, listen, when being right just seems too hard, you're doing right wrong. Or we don't believe what we say. It's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. Then let your ear hear your mouth declare it. What do? That fortifies your understanding of what your mouth is saying, because only faith is the adhesion between the word spoken and the word received. It's the only power. It's the only thing that makes it right. The truth does nothing, doesn't do anything for anybody until you become the truth that you hear. That's why the word says, the word of the Lord is nigh me, even in my mouth. What is he saying? Every single thing that fits every occasion, that rectifies, that not only repairs but renews and makes alive, it's in my mouth. The word of the Lord is nigh me, even in my mouth. I'm going to read one scripture and then I'm going to let you go, or I'm going to prophesy. Or... Paul is talking, he said, by the commission of God he has given me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. And that's what I come in faith. I come to you in the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. I believe God today. I know God today. It's you, God, is showing us the fullness of his word. It's a different generation. We are not the generation from the past. We are never called to live by the faith of Paul or Abraham or Isaac. They are the father of faith. They are the example of faith. But your faith is unique to you, and it's a faith that Christ reveals through you in a very unique way. And no one will ever be able to take your position of purpose, your position of faith. And it says, the mystery, or this mystery, that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but now is disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the nations the glorious riches of this mystery, which is, what is the mystery? Christ. But how is it revealed? Only in you. I may get some hate, but I'm going to say it. The coming of the Lord won't fix anything until we are the presentation of his coming. He said, I'm coming after a bride without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And the ignorance of indoctrination is, that's so hard. But the truth of his word is, it is finished. I have done it in you. I'm doing it through you. Of him, through him, to him are all things, to whom be glory and honor and praise. If we're looking for God to come and scoop us up so the trouble ends, then we forfeit the power of the Holy Spirit. We forfeit the power and the wisdom of faith. We forfeit the understanding that comes through the revelation of Christ in you, is the hope of glory. Whose hope? God's, the heavens, the kingdom of God. How is this glory revealed? He said, I've sanctified. That's why Job said, What is man? In all this misery, God, I still know it's you. I still know your hand is in this. And God confirms and says, it's me. It's me. It's me, Job. Repent and know me. And Job does, and he commands all power and glory and authority to God. But the statement that he makes, what is it about mankind that you are so mindful of him? Right here, the scriptures tell us. The glory of God is revealed through us because we become an experience that God pleases. That the word says he rejoices over. He rejoices over that experience. No experience will satisfy you, not one, not any person, not any way, not any shape. You absolutely lack nothing. You are fortified. You are two. You are not one. And he made of two, Jew and Gentile, God and man, he made of two one, and one is the unity of agreement. You agree with the Father. You are not one. You are two. And in that sanction, God says, I'll bring my will to pass in you. This is the greatest season of your life. God will bring out of you and not to you. Name it. Where you stand, you've never stood before. That's good. It's exactly the way God wanted it. It's the will of the Lord. And through it, you'll be wiser than you've ever been. Understand more than you've ever stood. Know what you didn't know that you needed to know. That you didn't know you needed to know. Listen to that a few times. I promise you it makes sense. And in it is the peace that you lacked, even what you wanted when it came. Still wasn't there in full. That's the power. For the virtue of Christ is peace that surpasses understanding, which means we don't get thrown off when things don't go the way we look for them to go. But how can beyond what we know to ask or think happen if those times don't take place? Matt and Lori, can you believe that there's been nothing, there has not been anything like what God is about to do through you? Do you know what is important about what you're about to do? You don't have a clue. The truth will be made known.
Thank you, Lord.
And you haven't even seen their faces in person yet. But the truth. God will make you exempt as he has from a lie. For no lie is of the truth. And the word says, if you walk in the truth, then what harm can befall you? You represent the truth. And not all in what you say, but in what you believe. So God will not allow anything to be enjoined or welded together. He will break it off. That is a contradiction to the truth. And remember that. A one of a kind, it has not been seen, not in this fashion. And if you believe the word, believe the watch of the word God sets over you, his wisdom, not man, not flesh, not blood, you'll know it without seeing it coming. It will make its presence known in glory. It's so much more than you would imagine. That's why God has spread you all over the land. Babel has nothing to say or do with you. The Lord will scatter you as he has. And in every part, God's purpose was in every one. And so it is in everything that God allows you to do. And you don't have to worry. Worry should be far from you. What God does not want, he will cut it off in a day. And what he wills, he will unite in a moment's time. It's the greatest season of your life. Father, we praise and we worship you. We love you. We thank you. Chris and Terry, I speak a blessing over your life today. I speak a blessing of the Lord. I come to you in the fullness of the blessing of the Lord and speak the blessing of God's favor over in you and through you to unite you in such confidence of where God is and what he's doing that not at any point in time do you feel the absence of his glory. I command that blessing over your life in Jesus' name. I pray for it. Would you stand with me? Father, I thank you for everyone here, those with us online. We just speak the blessing of God that overwhelms, as you said, exceeding, abundant, and beyond, that we stand in awe and worship you. We know you seek true worshipers, and they that worship you in spirit, truly. Faith is a spirit. The spirit of Christ. Jesus, you are the way. You are the truth. You are the way. You are the truth. Truth is to be heard. God, it's you. In everything that's going on, God, it's you. God, it's you. Just like you said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you always. The Lord is my shepherd. How can I want? I speak that blessing over you today. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside the quieted waters. He has restored your soul. He's leading you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God, it's you. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadows of death, it doesn't make any difference. You fear no evil because there is no evil to be had by you. The Lord is my shepherd. Your rod and your staff, thank you, Lord. They comfort. Yes. You anoint our heads with oil. Your head is anointed with oil. Your cup runs over in the presence of your enemies. Only good can happen to you. And you will dwell in the presence of the Lord now and forever. Only good can happen to me. Say, only good can happen to me. And I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. God wants you to know. Listen, if snatching us away would have been the answer, we'd have been snatched away a long time ago. But if God fulfilling through us before the catching away, then how great would that be that we stand a bride before the Lord in the presence of God, speaking the word, walking in the fervent favor of Almighty God. How great is the Lord with me? Say of the Lord, God, it's you. What I'm walking into, what I'm walking through, God, it's you. The Lord has made you an instrument of wisdom. He's made you an instrument of understanding, zeal. He's made you a voice of worship, but so much beyond that. So as you're walking your way, trying to find the path that's a little more narrow, say of the Lord, Trigget, God, it's you. God, it's you. In all that I say and all that I do, God, it's you. You're not that far away. Your feet are on the path, but when we look so far away, where we're supposed to be feels so far away. But if we say, Lord, it's you, you can feel you're right there. And according to your faith, be it unto you. The door God's going to open is going to look a great deal different than you thought, than you've discussed. And those with whom you endeavor to partner, it's so much different. The Lord will make you dependently exclusive if you will let him. And the difference will be obvious. And that's the value. That member that you are, that member of the body that you are, and that you are together. It's the greatest season of your life. Father, we praise you. We love you. We worship you. We thank you.